Blast from Our Past Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown. Here are your hosts, Adam and John Spees.
Welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown, a no-holds-barred trivia match between two contenders fighting for nostalgic glory. I'm your host, Adam Spees.
I'm your co-host, John Spees.
And today we are continuing the Quado Finals in our 2022 Patron Tournament. We have two teammates going against each other today. Our first one, he'll hit the sack. He's been too long. He's glad to be back. Yes, he's let loose from the noose. That's kept him hanging about. He's been looking at the sky because it's getting him high. He's Josh Bomb back in black. Josh Bomb back. Please say hi and tell us a little about yourself.
Hi. Josh Bomb back from St. Paul, Minnesota. Not looking forward to competing against a trivia partner from our podcast, the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. If you like sports trivia or need to get better at sports trivia, check us out.
Yes, as everybody should. It's a fantastic podcast. All right, and your opponent. If you're having trouble with the high school head, he's giving you the blues. You want to graduate, but not in his bed. Here's what you got to do. Pick up the phone. He's always home. Call him anytime. Just ring 362-436. Hey, he leads a life of crime. He's Eric Dirty Deed Eed. All right, Eric, please say hi and tell us a little about yourself.
Hello. I'll just echo everything Josh said, member of the Benchwarmer Trivia Podcast. And Josh said, if you like sports trivia, listen to us. If you don't like sports trivia, we probably still want you to listen to us.
Fair enough.
It's entertaining either way. I'm terrible at the trivia, but I enjoy the personalities.
That's, yeah, with anything. And like, even if you don't, yeah. I listen to a lot of stuff. But I just hate what I'm listening. I hate listening to so many things in my life.
We'll take eight listeners.
Right? Not anybody.
So. All right, gentlemen, let's listen to our rules.
Entering the ring are two contestants who will engage in three rounds of head-to-head trivia. Here are the rules. Round one consists of 10 questions in different pop culture categories focused on a decade that will be randomized. If you answer incorrectly, your opponent has the chance to steal. And the categories are movies, music, television, toys and games, sports, fashion, slang, news and politics, literature, and food. Round two consists of the same 10 categories, but this time your opponent gets to pick your category. Each correct answer gives you 10 points. In the final round, you may bid up to as many points as you've earned before answering the final two questions. The categories for the final questions will be picked by the contestants, but the decade will again be randomized from those remaining. You must get both answers correct to earn your wager. Now it's time for a takedown.
All right, now that we know the rules, I want to get to know Josh and Eric just a little bit better. If you guys noticed, I referenced two AC/DC songs when I opened up for y'all's names. And I want to know, what is your favorite AC/DC song besides the ones I referenced? So you cannot mention Back in Black or Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. What is your other, besides that, favorite AC/DC song?
Probably Hell's Bells.
Hell's Bells. That's a good song. It's a very good song.
I would have to, I guess it's all going to go that way. I would have to say Highway to Hell, and I don't know why.
Okay.
Like Thunderstruck, I feel like would be the, you know, the cliche answer, but I think I enjoy Highway to Hell a little better.
Thunderstruck would have gotten you the win because I like Thunderstruck quite a bit. Between Highway to Hell and Hell's Bells, both very good. I probably would have also put It's a Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll, probably better as well. But I do think I like Hell's Bells better than Highway to Hell. So that means, Josh, you get to pick first.
I mean, this is going to hurt if it goes the wrong way, but I'm going to pick sports.
All right.
And we're starting off in the 50s.
Woo. Okay. What player was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers who weren't impressed with him and released him? thinking he wasn't smart enough to remember the plays. When the Colts called him in February 1956, he was working as a pile driver operator and playing semi-pro football for $3 a game. He'd go on to be one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history.
Oh, dear God. Why am I blanking on his name? Oh, for shit's sake. This is killing me. You just got to give me a minute. Oh, seriously. This is not a good start. Not a good start. Johnny Unitas.
Johnny Unitas is correct.
I almost didn't get there.
Right, I'm nervous, Josh. What's going on?
Well, I'm going against you, and it's a sports question. I don't want to get a sports question wrong right off the bat.
It's like, who's wore 23 for the Bulls? And Bombay's, oh, geez, oh.
Yeah, that's about where I was. I couldn't get Joe Namath out of my head. I'm like, that's not right. That's not the answer. It starts with J, but I couldn't get there. Oh, thank God I finally got there.
All right, Eric, what category would you like?
Toys and games.
Okay, I figured that's where that was going.
And your decade is the 70s.
Okay. What fantasy role-playing game was first published in 1975? It was written to be similar, but a more accessible alternative to Dungeons & Dragons. And instead of the abbreviation D&D, it uses T&T. Oh, another AC/DC reference. T&T is dynamite. Actually, not T&T. T&T. But there you go.
This, I don't even know if this is supposed to be easy or not, so I don't know if... jeez. Only thing that comes to my mind is Tunnels and Trolls, but I have no idea if that's even in the same area, so that's what I'll go with.
Tunnels and Trolls is correct. I thought I was not thinking this was easy. I think this was very tough.
I didn't have that. I was like... Yeah.
All right, Mr. Bomback, we're back to you. We're bombed back to you.
Let's go with television.
And we're going back to the 50s.
Wow. Okay.
Jesus.
What unseen British black and white television series ran from 1958 to 1959? This science fiction spy thriller was named after and loosely based on a popular H.G. Wells novella.
One more time, please.
What unseen British black and white television series ran from 1958 to 59? This science fiction spy thriller was named after and loosely based on a popular H.G. Wells novella.
I don't know that many H.G. Wells. Not right, but I'm going to say The Time Machine.
The Time Machine is incorrect. Eric, can you steal?
Based on that subtle hint in the beginning, I'm going to say The Invisible Man.
What unseen British black and white show? Yes, The Invisible Man is correct. All right. Picking up on clues and stealing points.
Clues.
I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't a clue.
I'm like, wait, who? Why would anybody know of a TV season knows ever seen?
It was on for like a year, so like I figured nobody really watched it. I didn't.
All right, Eric.
And I also didn't know that he wrote The Invisible Man. So
I don't even know what he wrote.
You just went off the clue and thought, all right.
All right, Eric, what would you like?
Music.
Okay.
Your decade is the 90s.
What 90s alternative rock band was named after the colloquial term referring to the burst blood vessels visible in the alcohol-ravaged red nose they noticed in a picture of film comedian W.C. Fields seen in the book Hollywood Babylon?
I think that's Gin Blossoms.
Gin Blossoms is correct. All right. Oof. Josh, what would you like?
Let's go movies, and hopefully it won't be the 50s.
It's not. It's the 90s again.
Okay. And we have got another explain a film plot badly question. So I will give you a year and a bad description of a movie, and you need to name that movie. 1991. Young girl with Stockholm syndrome talks to furniture and marries her kidnapper.
Okay, one more time.
1991. Young girl with Stockholm syndrome talks to furniture and marries her kidnapper.
Is this Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice is incorrect, incorrect, incorrect. Eric Ede, can you steal?
The only movie I can think of where somebody talks to furniture is Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, Christ.
A tale as old as time. Yes, it is Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, can I just give up at halftime at the round one and just mail it in?
You know, I kind of missed... I missed the on tilt, Josh. We had him a couple times ago.
You're not going to get that now. Now you're just going to get the sad and pathetic, Josh. No on tilt. By the way, I've never seen Beauty and the Beast. I'm familiar with the story, but...
Unfortunately, it's a great one. Well, it's a good one. It's not great. It's good. All right. Eric, got the steal, and we're going back to you.
We'll go food.
Okay.
And your decade is the 80s.
Question from Simon Hood. Thank you, Simon. In the mid-80s, McDonald's started producing what item on their menu? It never really took off and was eventually discontinued as it was oven-baked fresh and took 11 to 16 minutes to cook, which wasn't in line with their reputation for fast service.
Can you read that one more time?
In the mid-80s, McDonald's started producing what item on their menu? It never really took off and was eventually discontinued as it was oven-baked fresh and took 11 to 16 minutes to cook, which wasn't in line with their reputation for fast service.
I feel like I'm missing something on that. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm going to pass.
Nothing? No guess?
Nothing.
All right, Josh, you get a chance to steal.
Oven-baked fresh? Okay, can you say it one more time?
Sure.
Am I missing something?
Probably not. It's pretty straight up. In the mid-80s, McDonald's started producing what item on their menu? It never really took off and was eventually discontinued as it was oven-baked fresh and took 11 to 16 minutes to cook, which wasn't in line with their reputation for fast service.
I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I'm just going to say apple pie. It's probably not right. I know they had them, but...
Apple pie is incorrect. John, do you know this menu item?
I don't know it, but I just want to take a guess. Was it like the McPizza or something?
The McPizza is what I was looking for. I would have accepted pizza as well, just because I said what kind of item. But yes, the McPizza. They were doing pizzas and failed miserably.
I only know of one McDonald's that ever did pizza, and that's in Chicago. And I think they still do it. Like that was their thing. That was,
yeah, but it's like one of their niche ones.
So
yeah.
maybe they kept it along. Yeah, this would have been in the early 90s that I first was there. So maybe they're like, well, they got rid of it, but we like it.
Yeah.
I know you can get poutine at the McDonald's in Canada.
Right. So. Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, that'd be really good with their fries, though. I would approve of that.
Wow. Hey, I've gotten an answer correct, so I guess we'll hang my hat on that. At this point, maybe I should set Eric up for breaking his own record.
No, you have a shot. Don't give up.
I do not have a shot.
You do. No. Oh, my gosh. If you get this question, then you're only doubled up, okay? All right, Josh, what category would you like?
None.
We got literature, slang, fashion, and news and politics.
Let's try slang.
And your decade is the 2000s.
Okay. What tasty slang originated in Australia in mid-2003? It's used to describe a person's body fat that extends horizontally over the edges of the waistline of tightly fitted pants or skirts.
Is that muffin top?
Top of the muffin to you. Yes, tasty muffin top is correct.
I know that one.
There you go. See, and now you have a chance. You're back in the game.
No, Adam, I don't.
Right. Eric, what would you like?
I don't like any of these. News and politics.
News and politics.
And your decade is the 50s.
Oh, yikes.
Wow. Okay. The first effective polio vaccine was developed in 1952 by what American virologist? His vaccine came into public use in 1955 and is on the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines.
Now, this is the Johnny Unitas moment for me because I know his name. I've said it 105 times. Ah, crap.
Can you pull out 106?
Holy crap. Oh my gosh, this is gonna... I can't tell anybody to listen to this. I'm gonna be embarrassed if I don't get this. Last name's popping in my head is Brody.
Brody is incorrect. Josh, can you steal?
I think it's Jonas Salk.
My name is Jonas Salk. I should have put a hint in that, but he didn't need it. But yeah, Jonas Salk is correct. Good steal. And Josh, what category would you like between fashion and literature?
Let's try fashion.
Oh, wow.
And your decade is the 70s.
What brand of underwear was first produced by Fruit of the Loom in 1977? It helped transform kids into their favorite superhero or cartoon character thanks to licenses it obtained from DC Comics, Marvel Comics, Hanna-Barbera, and Archie Comics.
Are they Underoos?
Underoos is correct. Okay, and that's going to leave literature coming at Eric.
And we're staying in the 70s.
Okay. What 1978 fictional novel by Beryl Bainbridge chronicles a youthful Hitler as he heads off from Vienna to visit relatives in Liverpool, where he gets into serious trouble with the English?
You read that one more time.
Mm-hmm. What 1978 fictional novel, it's a fictional novel by Beryl Bainbridge chronicles a youthful Hitler as he heads off from Vienna to visit relatives in Little Liverpool, where he gets into serious trouble with the English?
I think it's called, Young Adolf.
Young Adolf is correct. Well done.
Wow. And you say you don't know literature.
I know weird stuff about...
I'm guessing you haven't read it.
No. I've heard of a lot of books. I hear there's many out there. There's a place you can go for free and look at them. You can't... I don't think you can leave with them, but I think you can just go look at them.
All right, that is the end of round one. John, where do we stand with our scores?
Well, despite Josh's frankly negative attitude... he was able to keep up pretty well. Eric has 50 and Josh has 40.
Yeah. There is absolutely a chance for either direction here. All right, Josh, as you got to go first, that means Eric, you get to pick for Josh to start off round two.
Let's give Josh fashion.
Okay.
And we have our first 60s question.
Okay. Known as the Girl of the Year in 1965, what American heiress and protege of Andy Warhol became a fashion trendsetter with her short hair, chandelier earrings, black tights, and mini dresses? She's cousin to the closer.
One more time, please.
Known as the Girl of the Year in 1965, what American heiress and protege of Andy Warhol became a fashion trendsetter with her short blonde hair, chandelier earrings, black tights, and mini dresses? She's cousin to the closer.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out from this hint. Cousin to the closer. Is that Kira Sedgwick is the closer? I'm going to say Sedgwick.
Sedgwick is correct. Edie Sedgwick is cousin to Kira Sedgwick and was a fashion and protege of Andy Warhol.
I couldn't, if you told me I had to have her first name, couldn't have gotten there. I'm assuming that's what the hint was for.
That's what exactly what the hint was for.
Steer it.
All right. What category would you like to give to Eric, and why will it be literature?
Because I'm hoping it's a book he hasn't heard of. So
come on, comic book question.
It is literature.
And your decade is the 80s.
Another question from Simon Hood. Thank you, Simon. Terry Pratchett released The Color of Magic in 1983. It was the first novel in what fantasy comedy sci-fi series? 41 novels have been written in total and are primarily set on a flat planet balanced on the backs of four elephants, which in turn stand on the back of a giant turtle.
Read that one more time.
Mm-hmm. Terry Pratchett released The Color of Magic in 1983. It was the first novel in what fantasy comedy sci-fi series? 41 novels have been written in total and are primarily set on a flat planet balanced on the backs of four elephants, which in turn stand on the back of a giant turtle.
I think it's called Discworld.
Discworld is correct. So you knocked out both literature questions. Well done. All right. What category do you want to give to Josh?
Oh, boy. News and politics.
Okay.
And your decade is the 2000s.
On June 21st, 2009, what island nation was granted further self-governance or self-rule within the Kingdom of Denmark?
One more time.
On June 21st, 2009, what island nation was granted further self-governance, aka self-rule, within the Kingdom of Denmark?
I don't know if it's right, but I'm going to say Iceland.
Iceland is incorrect. Eric, can you steal?
I'm going to say Greenland.
I'm going to send you back to where I found you, unemployed in Greenland. It is Greenland. Greenland is a part of Denmark. That is correct. Getting the steal. Josh, what do you want to give to Eric?
Amnesia? Is that not? Oh, that's not what you're asking.
not a category. Yeah.
Sorry. I'll give him food.
And your decade is the 90s.
Another question from Simon Hood. Thank you, Simon. Consisting of an all-beef patty, fried egg, beetroot, tomato, lettuce, cheese, onions, mustard, and ketchup on a sesame seed bun, McDonald's released what sandwich in 1991 in its New Zealand market? Yes, I know those were two McDonald's questions that happened to be on our food, but that's just how it went this time.
Is that a kiwi burger?
Kiwi burger is correct. Wow.
You had me right up until you said beetroot.
Beetroot. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it'd be great without the beetroot. But, all right. What do you want to give to Josh?
Slang, please.
Okay.
And your decade is the 70s.
Okay. In the 70s, if you needed a favor, you might ask someone for what state of matter?
Is it do me a solid?
A solid is correct. I think I've actually used that question before, but I like it. All right. Josh, what do you want to give to Eric besides amnesia? Instead, you can give him movies, music, TV, toys and games, or sports.
I think he's good with all these. I'll give him music.
Okay.
And your decade is the 2000s.
Okay. Released in 2006, Gnarls Barkley's first studio album was named what? It shares the name with the 1980s medical drama TV show.
St. Elsewhere.
St. Elsewhere is correct. And thank you, Vernon Heggie, for that question. All right, we are moving along. Eric, what category is going to go to Josh?
Movies.
Sorry, Josh. It's the 50s.
I think this is one of my tougher questions. Sorry, Josh. In what 1951 film does Elizabeth Taylor say the line, "Seems like we always spend the best part of our time just saying goodbye," to Montgomery Clift in a prison cell, not long before he's taken to be executed for his crime? It won 6 Academy Awards and the first ever Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture Drama.
Okay, I need that one more time. There's a lot going on there.
Hefty question. Hefty. In what 1951 film does Elizabeth Taylor say the line, "Seems like we always spend the best part of our time just saying goodbye," to Montgomery Clift in a prison cell, not long before he is taken to be executed for a crime? It won 6 Academy Awards and the first ever Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture Drama.
I have nothing. I don't know.
Nada. All right. Nothing. Eric, can you take this one?
I got 2 in my head. I'm going to go with A Place in the Sun.
What was your second option by chance?
I was struggling for the name. That's the only reason why I went to this one.
Well, A Place in the Sun is correct. Good job.
Thanks, Mom.
For forcing you to watch Elizabeth Taylor movies?
No, just she would always have garbage on and you would eventually just have to watch everything that she did. Because back in the, for kids listening to this, back in the day, there was one TV in the house.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, kids did not control it. All right, he gets the steal. Josh, do you want to give Eric TV, toys and games, or sports?
See, this is where the wheels have come off now. Yeah. So it's I fought back in round one. Toys and games.
Okay.
And the decade is also the 50s.
Mound Metalcraft, a gardening tools company, began in 1946. Eventually, they began selling metal toys. And in 1955, they changed their name to what? Which was based on the Dakota Sioux word meaning great or big.
I have no idea, Josh. Have at it.
Can you say it one more time?
Of course I can. Mound Metalcraft, a gardening tools company, began in 1946. Eventually, they began selling metal toys. And in 1955, they changed their name to what? Which was based on the Dakota Sioux word meaning great or big.
I'd feel bad if I got this wrong because it's a Minnesota company, or at least was a Minnesota-based company. I think this is Tonka.
I actually just deleted known for their trucks because I thought that was going to be too easy. And it is Tonka.
Yeah, that would have helped.
That would have.
I'm glad you didn't have that in there. Just saying.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and give Josh TV because I think Eric's going to keep sports for himself as my guest. Is that correct, Mr. Eric?
I mean, I was going to be nice, but if you're going to say
No,
go ahead.
This way it saves me the possible embarrassment of getting a sports question wrong.
No, so. You know, give him sports. Let him miss it, not me.
Okay.
All right. It's the 70s.
Okay. What New York Ranger goalie recorded his 103rd career shutout in 1970, the final of his career? Martin Brodeur is the only goalie with more career shutouts with 125.
You know, this is probably something I should know. I know Eric knows this. It's a hockey question. This is going to bode well for you, Eric, because I couldn't tell you a Ranger goalie from the 70s. So, and I don't think, maybe this has been a question on our podcast, but if it has, that's all gone away. I got nothing.
Okay.
Not even a guess.
Not even a guess, Eric.
I don't want to sound super stupid. It's bad enough that I just don't know.
Eric, can you steal?
Read that one more time for me.
Mm-hmm. What New York Ranger goalie recorded his 103rd career shutout in 1970, the final of his career? Martin Brodeur is the only goalie with more career shutouts with 125.
I want to say Terry Sawchuk.
Do you want to say Terry Sawchuk, or are you saying Terry
Sawchuk? I'm going to say Terry Sawchuk.
Okay. Terry Sawchuk is correct. All right. And that leaves TV for Eric.
And it is the 90s.
What MTV game show premiered in 1999? In it, two exes are pitted against each other in a fictional courtroom setting with a studio audience voting to decide who was at fault for their breakup. It ran for two seasons, 130 episodes.
Is that the Blame Game?
The Blame Game is correct. Oh, and you should feel ashamed that you knew that.
I've never heard of that.
It's a cheesy guy. I definitely remember watching it. It was not good.
It's not as good as Room Raiders.
By that point, I'd given up on music television because they never played music. So
that is correct. All right, that's the end of round two. John, could you please give us our score updates?
Well, despite Josh's best efforts, he was not doubled up. Eric has 120 and Josh has 70.
Absolutely, there's a chance. And to kind of figure out what really the chances will be, we need to know our two final questions. Eric, as you're in the lead, what category do you want to go into the final round?
Sports, please.
Okay.
And the decade will be the 60s.
And Mr. Bombeck, which category would you like to join in?
News and politics. Okay.
And the decade will also be the 60s.
Okay. I need the two of you to write down your wagers based on 60s sports and 60s news and politics.
All right, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good too.
All right. We are going to start off in 60s sports. In the 1963 World Series, the Los Angeles Dodgers swept the Yankees in four straight games, with the series MVP going to what pitcher who was given the win for games 1 and 4? And your 60s news and politics question. In 1963, what civil rights activist was murdered in Jackson, Mississippi? That year, defendant Byron D. LeBeckwith got off from a hung jury. Then in 1994, the case went back to court and Beckwith was convicted. The 1994 court case was the center of the 1996 film Ghosts of Mississippi. While our contestants are thinking about their answers, I am here to tell y'all, check out Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. We've got two of their best benchwarmers right here on our show, and so I'm excited to talk about them. I've been on 3 episodes by the time this one comes out, I think, maybe, or around that, and it's awesome. It's really fun. I'm terrible at it. I have been carried in the show by Eric before and also by Dan Lundberg, but overall, it is such a fun game. I really have a good time anytime I'm on it. All right, do either of you need one of the questions reread?
Can you reread the news and politics?
Sure. In 1963, what civil rights activist was murdered in Jackson, Mississippi? That year, defendant Byron D. LeBeckwith got off from a hung jury. Then in 1994, the case went back to court and Beckwith was convicted. The 1994 court case was the center of the 1996 film Ghosts of Mississippi.
Okay, I'm good.
Okay, and Mr. Eid?
I'm locked in. I'm ready to go.
Okay. All right, we are going to start off with Josh. As you were behind, what were your answers to the 60 sports and 60s news and politics question?
Koufax and Evers.
And Mr. Eid, what were your answers?
Sandy Koufax and Medgar Evers.
And the correct answers? Sandy Koufax was the MVP for the 1963 World Series. And the civil rights activist who was murdered in Jackson, Mississippi, Medgar Evers. That is correct. All right, so let's see how things turned out with the wagers. Josh, as you're behind, what did you wager? Both people getting them right.
I wagered 30.
Wagered 30. Okay. Hoping for a potential loss of a question. And Mr. Eid, what did you wager?
I wagered 100.
Oh, okay. All right. John, what is our final score?
With a final score of 220 to 100, Eric Ead is today's winner.
Woo! Well done, Mr. Ead. Yes, you didn't have a chance to top your highest score ever with 280, but you would have tied your third highest score ever with 240 if you had gone all the way. But well done, Eric. That was a much more hard-fought game than Josh gave it himself credit for. It was a good game.
you can say that, but yeah. Knowing how I know these things end up, when you get behind to Eric Ead, you don't typically win. I was hoping for a stumper on the news and politics for him, but...
Well, all right, Mr. Ead, congrats. You will continue into our semifinals when you will take on Drew Buxbaum. Very excited about that one. See how that one will go. But unfortunately, Mr. Bombeck, this is the end of your epic run that you had on Throwback Trivia Takedown this year. Please leave us with some wonderful parting words.
I made it to the quarterfinals. That's pretty impressive. I didn't think I was going to make it out of the first round, so... I had a lot of fun, and like I said, I had previous rounds where things hit that I just knew, and today just not as much as I needed. So, but I really enjoyed being on multiple times. I'm not sure I will ever do as well again, but hey. And kudos to you, Mr. Ead. I kind of figured this was the way it was going to go. And well, now it's up to you and I think Dan is still in it, isn't he? At the moment,
he is currently
so
in it.
You and Dan moment. Hopefully can make it to the finals and make sure a bench warmer wins this. So
no bench warmer on bench warmer action anymore. This is not
that's
pay extra for that, guys.
That's what we need. We need to guarantee a bench warmer wins the whole thing. So you and Dan have to get there.
So Josh likes to talk, what was me? And yet he says he's bad at trivia and all these other things, but he's very good and he just doesn't like to give himself credit.
I've gotten better at sports trivia. I've actually gotten really much better at it by researching and writing questions that you just end up learning a bunch of things.
Yeah.
I'm actually decent at other pop culture trivia. Just today, they're just some of the things hit. Outside of where I had an idea. So where the last time everything, like after the first three questions were rough for me, I thought I was going to like go over and then I just started just rolling. So
yeah, you did solid. You did very solid.
I know. General trivia. I'm actually, I feel stronger than sports trivia typically, but I do like that we have teammates in our podcast because I can usually help get somebody else there with some, throwing ideas at the wall. It's all right. I do okay. But yeah,
you do plenty good, my man.
I'm rooting for Ead and Dan Lundberg too.
If it comes down to Ead versus Lundberg, who are you picking?
Yes. it's we win no matter what. Then it's
lame.
There we go. That's your moment, Josh.
Right. Oh, then if I really have to pick one, then I'd have to go with my hometown buddy, fellow state Minnesotan, Dan Lumber.
Yeah, I got no fans in my corner. Don't worry about it.
All right. Maybe it'll happen that way. Maybe Mr. Lumberg will be taken out in this quarterfinals round. We'll see. But everybody, I hope you guys had a great time. I had a very, very good time hosting this episode. So for John, I'm Adam. This was another episode of Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Thank you for listening to Throwback Trivia Takedown. If you want to support the podcast, or if you'd like to be a contestant, go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown and pick a tier that's right for you. If you want to submit questions, you can email them to throwbacktriviatakedown@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you next time when two new contestants go head-to-head in nostalgic knowledge on Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Hey everybody, I'm Corey.
And I'm Zach, and we're the hosts of Podcasting After Dark, a cast dedicated to late-night horror and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, often found on HBO and Cinemax.
You know, the movies your parents didn't want you watching as a kid. You can find us every other week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher.
This is what you want.
This is what you get.